One. It'll be the wind out of the north. It could be the story, though. 7 to 15 miles an hour steady today, gusting up to 26. And we could see some similar gusts tonight and tomorrow as well. Sunshine coming back later on in the week, and still temperatures remain in the upper 70s for highs. Offshore, or make that onshore now, in Beaufort at 71 degrees. We see Havelock at 71, New Bern at 68 degrees, Richlands at 70 degrees.
It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 252-247-7282, and let's talk legal.
Love to hear from you here on the Talk Station. Ask your questions about your legal life, and we have Cecil Harvell is with us this morning. Good morning, Cecil.
We do. Good morning, Ben. I think Wes will be here most any moment.
Okay.
Ben, let's talk today about the title of the program would be The Proper Execution of a Last Will and Testament.
Okay.
Of course, we all don't. We get a little bit of a laugh over the word execution. It sounds it sounds
ominous.
Quite English, doesn't it? But anyway, execution really means the signing ceremony relative to a last will and testament. And that begins, of course, Ben, with what we're talking about here is the written, typewritten, if you will, written by another person, the procedure, the process of that will becoming valid and legitimate under the laws of the state of North Carolina. Keep in mind that if you write out the will completely in your own handwriting, in your penmanship, that can be verified, then that is known as a holographic will. And that does not require the signing ceremony because it is written in your own handwriting.
Okay.
That's the holographic will.
Right.
You, of course, would sign it. It's written in your handwriting, but it does not require witnesses and a notary. Okay. A typewritten will, a will prepared by a lawyer,
right,
or a will that one might get off of the internet that's typewritten, this document is not in your penmanship. So it has to be signed by you. And in the state of North Carolina, there are requirements other than it simply being signed by you. And we begin by saying that that last will and testament, the proper execution of a will, requires that the document be signed by the testator or the maker of the will, and that the will has two witnesses.
Right. Okay.
And the testator needs to acknowledge that he understands in some way, or she understands that this is her will. That needs to be understood. The witnesses need to know that. And they need to affirm that the signature of the testator is in fact their signature.
Right. Okay.
Now, in most law firms, there's Wes has come into the program, which is great. And Wes
dropped my daughter off at school.
Yeah.
Moorhead Middle School.
We've been doing this show long enough. They've all grown up during this time.
Right. Next year, they'll both be at West Carteret, and I'll be here on time on Tuesday morning.
Got one child going one way and the other one going the other way this year. So anyway, Ben, now we're going to talk. These kinds of details actually can become the subject of lawsuits and litigation in our office because sometimes things aren't just done quite as clear as what we're talking about right now in the program. The lawyers who are directing, if you will, this ceremony of the signature of a last will and testament are going to also, in North Carolina, most likely, have present a notary public. Now, that's a third witness, if you will.
Right.
The law requires two. The law requires that the testator sign the document. And then the law, if the will is to be self-proving, which I'm going to explain in a minute, a notary is present to be able to affirm that the signatures of the witnesses and the signature of the testator are, in fact, their signatures.
Right.
The notary may ask for identification. The notary may just simply already know in a law office. They probably know who the other secretaries or paralegals happen to be. Or maybe the notary realizes that the lawyer ran next door and asked, you know, the owner of the store in the strip mall next door to come over. We've heard about those stories. But the notary knows who that person is. When the notary notarizes the signatures of the folks that are signing the will, witness and or testator, they then at that moment are authenticating the will. So the perfect execution conference ceremony would be that the testator is in the room, that the lawyer shows the will to the testator, to the witnesses, to the notary, and that the testator signs it, that the witnesses realize that the testator is signing a last will and testament. They see him or her sign it, they witness it, and the notary witnesses the entire process, and then everyone then is able to leave the room. Now, notice
what could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? Okay.
This is where Wes comes in.
So, where I've been last week.
So there we go, Wes. I laid the foundation for you. We do all wish that we lived in a perfect world, but unfortunately, those circumstances of the notary, the witnesses, the testator all being in the same room, all being in sync with each other, there are great exceptions to that process.
Well, let me ask you a question kind of about that. Then the witnesses and the notary, they're acknowledging the proofing of these signatures. These are these people who signed this.
Yes, right. I'm going to go through it bit by bit in a minute.
Okay.
Yes, in general,
but
yes.
They're not attesting to anything in the will or even the capacity of the testator. See, that's where it might get.
There's some moving
squeaky
parts with regard to that, too.
Okay, so you go through then what you're going to say.
So, I mean, I think that where this starts is that the average listener here would probably think, you know, Harvell, Collins, what are you guys talking about? I mean, I understand maybe two witnesses have to be signed, have to be on the will, but, you know, if you print a will off the internet or whatever, it has a block there for the witnesses. So, and then the person, you know, then a notary spot. Then the person passes away and then it looks correct on its face, and that's just okay, right? Well, that's really not the case. What we're talking about here is that there is a very specific requirement, multiple requirements regarding the proper execution and the required execution in a will under the laws of the state of North Carolina. And every state has its own laws with regard to that. So although we couldn't talk about this last week because I was in a over a week long jury trial on this very issue, which the jury came back in our favor yesterday on it. We now at least generally can talk about it. But the situation in this particular case, in you know, involved a will of a man who died 4 months later. There were a lot of surrounding issues with regard to the will, and the will itself was done at an attorney's office. It looked like it was correct. If you looked at it on his face, it looked correct. But then upon, but there were a lot of questions about it. So there was a caveat proceeding filed, which is a will challenge. And upon taking the deposition of the actual witnesses who were paralegals and assistants and the notary at the respective law office, we learned that the circumstances under which this document was executed were anything but normal. Okay, see, normally at an attorney's office, it's a drop what you're doing ceremony. When I walked in here from dropping my daughter off, I heard Cecil use the term ceremony, and that's the way it is at an attorney's office. That's the way wills are executed. It happens, you know, once a day at our office, or twice a day, or at least multiple times a week, where, you know, you here in the hallway we need witnesses in the signing room or whatever, and everybody, you know, you drop what you do. The person doesn't sign until the witnesses come in. And everybody's there in the same room. It's just what you do. Because, you know, let's say the person dies 5, 6, 7 years later. How is everyone going to remember that day?
Right.
I mean, we're human beings here. We're not going to remember that day, right? We're not going to remember exactly what happened that day. But we are going to remember, well, the way we do it is exactly the same every time. You can remember that. Yeah. If you do it exactly the same every time. Well, same thing happened with this particular will that we were before a jury on last week into yesterday. They do it the same way every time, except for this time.
Wow.
This particular time, for some reason, ended up being a rush, ended up being demanded to be done right away by a certain person who seemed like they were putting some pressure into the situation. It all happened within one appointment. I mean, normally when you go to an attorney's office and a will gets prepared, you have appointment one, which is to sit down and discuss about what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the appointment two, where the attorney has drafted the document, reviewed it, make sure it's perfect. And then you come back in, attorney goes over it, you have the will signing, the ceremony. So what ended up happening in this case is the will that was in question, the jury came back and set it aside on issue number one, which was it did not meet the execution requirements under North Carolina law, even though on its face it looked like it did.
Uh-huh.
And number two, they also found that it was the product of undue influence. So they set it aside on both grounds. And
right.
Then that revived the previous will,
mm-hmm.
Okay, which don't need to get into the details,
right.
but I think it's consistent with what the guy who died wanted anyway.
Yeah. So what was unusual in the signing?
Let's go through the signing. Okay, so first of all, what you have to have, Cecil's absolutely right. You either have to have the two witnesses
mm-hmm.
who are actually present at the time of the signing, or if they're not present at the time of the signing, the testator, the person signing, has to acknowledge to those two witnesses that he or she, in fact, signed the will.
Right.
Okay. Sounds easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
That acknowledgement doesn't have to be by words. It can be by acts. It can be by hand signal.
Mm-hmm.
It can be by a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
It can be by, even an implication based on the circumstances. Okay. But we were able to establish that this was not done under the normal procedure at this law office. They really couldn't remember. And then the witnesses, one of them said, it's more likely than not I did not see this will sign
mm-hmm.
because we didn't follow protocol. And I remember the day kind of, but it's more likely than not that mm-hmm. I didn't see it sign. Another witness said, I was in the back room and came out, so I don't really remember if I actually saw it being signed or if it was acknowledged to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the burden is on the other side to prove that all this was done right. And then the witnesses to the will, the best they've got is, I really don't remember, or it's more likely than not.
Well, what does the notary play in this?
Well, the notary is, her testimony, by the way, is that it's very likely that there were some corners cut on this one because the procedure wasn't followed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a circumstance. The person came in really kind of was demanding of things, apparently. It's what it seemed anyway. So we're at a point where we're talking about we have to have the guy who just signed the will
mm-hmm.
attest or affirm or acknowledge to these witnesses that he just did that. Okay, this was a guy who was suffering from Parkinson's. He had mm-hmm. some issues going on.
Sure.
And basically, then we have the person who took him there, the person that we thought was the influencer,
mm-hmm.
his testimony. His testimony was that they all went into one room, went into a conference room, and the only people in that room was the attorney, the guy signing the will, and him.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We don't have two witnesses there.
Right.
Okay? So we know we don't have two witnesses in the room at the time, but that's okay under North Carolina law as long as the person who then signed the document acknowledge to the actual witnesses that he did by some kind of act.
Right, right.
We're then able to establish that as the person, as they were leaving the lawyer's office, they had no communications with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Mm-hmm.
And those, when you're an attorney and
practice,
you're trying a case and you're asking these questions before the jury, you are very painstakingly asking every question there can be that could deal with that type of issue when you get to that. Was there any signal? Was there any hand motion?
Huh.
Was there any nodding? Were there any type of communications? Was there were no words used? Any of that type thing. And then when you finally get a no on those, then how can we have an acknowledgement to the witnesses that document was in fact properly signed. We can't if there's not any communication.
All right. We get back to these, again, sticky wickets that are provided sometimes in these cases that seem so simple on their face. We'll have more to come in a moment with Let's Talk Legal. If you have questions, you can call now, 247-7282. That's 247-7282. Hey, welcome back here. Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. And we're talking with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins about the proper execution of will. And Wes was kind of going through real world particulars.
Yeah, you know, we tried this case last week. And, you know, just don't think that it's okay to just kind of find a witness down the street, have them come over later on, that kind of thing. You can't do that, you know, when you have the witnesses witness a will. I mean, the best thing to do is sit down at hopefully an attorney's office and have that actual ceremony.
Right.
But the acknowledgement, again, in the event that the witnesses aren't present when the document's signed, then the testator, by his act, by his word, by his motion, by his thumbs up, by his something, has to give an indication to the witnesses that he did, in fact, just sign or did sign the document. It doesn't have to be just sign the document, but sign the document. It would, most cases, be just sign the document.
Okay, but in some cases, though, is it, you know, signed off-site someplace, and they bring it in, and then they so this
it could be. There's nothing in the statute that says it has to be signed in any particular place.
Right, okay.
It just has to be either in the presence of the witnesses or acknowledged to the witnesses. But then here's an additional very clear requirement under the law that I think is kind of glossed over sometimes. Those witnesses have to witness the document in the presence of the actual testator, the person who signed. You can't, as a witness, get the confirmation that Mr. Jones signed the document, and then
he leaves.
And then he leaves, and then you witness it, you know, a day later before it goes out in the mail.
Right.
That's invalid. It has to be before him. Now, the two witnesses don't have to witness the document at the same time. It could be acknowledged by Mr. Jones to witness one, yes, I signed this, and then at a later time, acknowledged to witness two,
right?
That type of thing. So then you move on to the notary. Why do we have these three people? Why do we have witness one, witness two, and then why do we have then the notary? The notary is acknowledging, really, that obviously the witness is signed, the testator signed, and usually a self-proving affidavit, which is what the notary is signing, has some language in it about being sound mind, those type things.
Right.
Okay. In the real world, normally a notary isn't doing too much of an analysis about whether the person's of sound mind.
Right.
Normally that's the lawyer asking questions, making sure that's all being done. Okay. But the notary is signing that self-proving affidavit, which is a short affidavit at the end of a will that basically just allows upon the person's death for that original will to be taken to the respective clerk of court, estates division, and be accepted into probate without further affidavits or further proof. It makes the probate process easier instead of having to go out and find the witnesses, get affidavits, those kind of things.
Okay.
But the law is very clear. Just because you have a self-proving affidavit, just because the document is clear on its face, as far as the witnesses and the notary, and all four corners of the document look like they're correct, that does not mean that you cannot challenge that document based on execution.
Right.
And if there are questions about the execution, we can, you know, you can get into the thing I was into last week and dealt with for the past year or so, which is, you take the depositions of these witnesses under oath. You find out what really happened. And in this case, they were very honest, very forthcoming. Said this was a stress situation. This was a situation where there was a lot of pressure being put on the entire office, including the testator. And it didn't get done the way we normally do it. And it's pretty likely I didn't actually see it signed. So even though the document looked right, the jury came back and said, that's not good enough. Mr. Collins, you're correct. This wheel's no good.
And everything was produced and executed on in one day, right?
So within there was some conflicting evidence between either 20 to 45 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll come back with more here on Let's Talk Legal with Harbell and Collins, attorneys at law. If you want to find out more about your own legal situation, you want to call on the folks at Harbell and Collins. Reach out to them at 252-726-9050 and online at harbellandcollins.com. All right, so we just have a minute or so, we have a few minutes left.
Let's kind of try to conclude in some way. Mm-hmm. Here we go. So I think we conclude with asking all these questions.
Right.
You know, Wes has mentioned that the witnesses need to sign in the presence of the testator. Mm-hmm. Well, do the witnesses need to sign in the presence of each other?
Mm-hmm.
Does the notary need to sign in the presence of each and every witness? I mean, you can only imagine the various scenarios that we as lawyers could put forward, you know, and which happen in real life. Okay, you know, Mr. Jones signs the document. Then, of course, the document is taken out of the room and taken up to, you know, someone to say, well, Mr. Jones just signed this. Will you please just witness it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then another witness walks in the room at the time. There are all of these facts and circumstances that we can hear about. Okay. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is that, as we have said, there needs to be a procedure here. There needs to be a ceremony. There needs to be a way in which this is done.
Mm-hmm.
And the right way is to have the testator and the witnesses and the notary all in the room at the time that the testator signs the document. If we do it this way, then we are not going to have the kinds of questions that arise with regard to the execution of the will, which is kind of what this case was that Wes just had. Now, you keep bringing up the issue of capacity and what can the witnesses say about how Mr. Jones was doing that way that day, what was his demeanor, what was his understanding, things of that nature. Certainly, witnesses can be asked questions about that. But the topic of this particular day is for our listeners to see and understand the particulars of the execution of a last will and testament and the way that needs to be properly done.
Now, so when the notary is doing that final act, who needs to be present for that?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing in the statute that talks about who has to be present at the time that the actual document is notarized.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the notary is acknowledging that she actually witnessed and confirmed that these individuals signed the document.
Okay. All right.
And again, there's some language in there normally about sound mind without any type of compulsion or influence on my own free will, that type of language. But in my experience, it just seems that the notary is there to really just do that one thing, which is to confirm and affirm and acknowledge and then notarize appropriately that those individuals did in fact execute the document. So there's not anything in the statute says that the notary has to be there. She has to acknowledge it, but it doesn't indicate that he or she has to be with anyone in particular at the time the actual stamp hits the paper.
Okay. All right. And again, if you want to find out more about how the proper drafting and execution of a will, you want to call on the folks at Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law. You can find them at 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City, and online at harvellandcollins.com.